My name is Carrie, and I am an alcoholic. My home group is the wow, I almost said Three Legacies group. I was just showing my home group, which is the New Horizons group, a talk that when my home group was called the Three Legacies group 3 years ago, I was sharing with them a Tradition Five talk that somebody gave that was amazing, and I just have been hearing Three Legacies all day, so it almost slipped out of my mouth. My home group is the New Horizons group in Bend, Oregon, and I'm currently working steps 10, 11, and 12. I sponsor women who sponsor women, and I have a sponsor who has a sponsor. We are on the 10th step. So this is cool because now we're getting to the steps where, the growth steps, the maintenance and growth steps. So that's kind of cool because for by this time, sanity will have started returning, right? And by the time we're halfway through the ninth step, we will be amazed before we're halfway through with those amends, with the amends process. And so things are starting to happen, right? Like we're it's like all of a sudden those ninth step promises are becoming realistic. And wow, they're not extravagant. We think not. So we're starting to see where God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. And so we're going to start on step on page 84. Step 10, believe it or not, is hidden in the book on page 84. Right after it says, this thought brings us to step 10. Step 10 is in italics. That's a little hint that that is going to be where step 10 is, can be found in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, right behind where it says step 10 in italics. This book really keeps it simple for somebody like me, and I so appreciate that. I don't know, I hear things in meetings sometimes from well-meaning people who are probably doing the same work, just maybe not out of the big book. But like one of the things I hear is when I do my step 10 inventory at night, I remember when I used to think that step 10 was done at night, and it was always really difficult because I had a lot to think about and to clean up and to inventory. That is not the directions in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Step 11 is done at night, but all it is a review of my walking around step. So step 10 is something that I get to do all day. I assuming I'm no longer sleepwalking, right, through my day. I get to be mindful for the first time. Almost probably in my life, right? I get to start watching for those character defects when they crop up. But this isn't just, I don't get to go and raise hell and create havoc all day long, and then at the end of the day, think that I'm doing my 10th step inventory and try to fix it all then. I get to do my step 10th step all day long. Step 11 is how I start my day and how I end my day with my review. So step 10 is on it's one small paragraph. Can't keep it any more simple than out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. So this thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue taking personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. Right. So we've been through the first step. I realize I'm powerless over alcohol, that my life had become unmanageable. I can't do it by myself. Step two, I need something more than me. And maybe there's hope because you guys are staying sober and I'm not. So now I have to start seeking, and I had to come to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to that sanity. Then I get to step three, where I actually have to make that decision and that commitment. And, you know, according to the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, according to the meetings, according to the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, a lot of the time, it's just something that you do in the morning. Take steps 1, 2, 3 every morning, wake up, go pee, take your steps 1, 2, and 3, take your medication, eat, blah, blah, blah. But according to the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it is something that I do once. It is something that I take very seriously. It is something that the big book says we thought well before taking this step, making sure we were ready, that we could at last abandon ourselves utterly to him. I mean, this is a big deal. You know, my third step was the biggest, most important decision I've ever made in my entire life. Because the rest of the steps I could never do the rest of the steps without having taken that step. And it is not a step I take every day. It is a step I took once. I get to practice it every day in my 11th step, and we'll get to that next week. But for, you know, in order to actually take the action steps, I have to take step 3. And so when I did that, when I made that decision, when I said those vows on my knees in my living room with my sponsor, which doesn't happen every day, I remind myself of the step that I committed to by saying the third step prayer, sometimes many times each day, right? Like it says to do in the 11th step. But when I made that decision, it gave me a kickstart to go on to the fourth step. And the fourth step is to clean up the wreckage of my past, my drinking past, to go and to make a, well, I guess that's step 9, but technically to look at my past, right? And to look at what behaviors have been manifesting themselves, my patterns, the causes and conditions of my alcoholism, the causes and conditions that cause me to have those resentments and those fears and those that cause me to drink. And so I need to take a fearless and thorough moral inventory of myself. And so I do that in step 4. And in step 5, I offer that information to not just God, but to another human being. And that's was for me, my sponsor. And, step 4 for me was not a monologue. It wasn't a life story. It was pretty much a fact-finding and fact-facing process. So I stayed away from the feeling having, it doesn't say feeling having an emotion-facing process. It says fact-finding and fact-facing process. And so by the time I got to my fifth step, I had a whole lot of information there, but I got to empty it out on my sponsor and start to process and start to have those feelings and emotions in the safety of another alcoholic who helped me to see where I went wrong, where myself had been manifesting. And I've been trying to run the show. And I can't because I'm finite, right? I need an infinite God rather than relying on my finite self. So I was able to, with the help of my sponsor, get a list of my defects together that have been blocking me. And in the 7th step, I got to give them all to God. Not only my defects, the good and the bad. Everything. I said, take everything, the good and the bad. And now my life's not mine anymore, right? Now it's super easy. I don't have to make the tough decisions. That's God's job, right? I just have to wake up every morning and check in for duty. Where will you have me be? Who will you have me help? I'm yours for the taking, right? That's my job now. You are the principal. I am the student. And so then I got to start cleaning up that wreckage of my past in steps 8 and 9. And I got to start going out and mending all of the wrongs that I have made, and starting to clean up the wreckage of my past. And because, you know, this book does not promise anywhere in it that I'm going to recover from humanism, only from alcoholism, it promises that now, you know, I get to live in a daily reprieve from self, if I live this life on God's terms, and follow the dictates of a higher power and not my own best thinking. But I also, what's cool is I get to be relieved of that alcoholism now, right? Like, I don't have to wake up with that on me anymore, with like that college party living up in my head going, drink, drink, drink. I don't have to do that anymore because God has removed that from me. So now I get to focus on the present and how to become a better human being and how to live and grow along spiritual lines. And because I'm not recovered from humanism, just from alcoholism, I get to have a step, you know, if we graduated after step 9, once we recovered, then it we'd get our graduation certificate and we'd be out of here and we'd be good to go. But we're granted 3 additional steps to keep us growing along spiritual lines, to keep us safe and protected, to keep us recovered, and to keep us from returning to that alcoholic thinking. So step 10 is the step that I get to continue to take that personal inventory that I learned how to take in step 4, and to continue setting wrong any new or to continue setting right any new wrongs as I go along. And so any inventory I do today is all considered 10th step inventory. Now, I don't work out of the 12 and 12. I work out of the big book. But even in the 12 and 12, there's a paragraph in there. I think it's like the second paragraph down on the second page of the 10th step that says all inventory, and I'm quoting this verbatim, all inventories are alike in principle, but the time factor does distinguish one from the other. And so all of you guys out there who think that you do a 4th step every year, good for you. Keep doing what, you know, works for you. If your sponsor calls it a 4th step, okay. But for me, I call it continued inventory. I call it 10th step work. I don't have to clean up the wreckage of my past anymore. Today, I get to continue cleaning up the wreckage as I go along. And that's called 10th step stuff. And the 10th step in the 12 and 12 also talks about, it talks about all the different types of inventories. It talks about the semi-annual inventory, the annual housekeep cleaning, all of that stuff, but it's all under the 10th step. The 4th step is the wreckage of my drinking past. And if I stay in my 10th step, I'm not gonna drink again. And so I'll never have to clean up the wreckage of my drinking past ever again, right? So I take a lot of 10th steps. I take spot checks. I take annual inventory, house cleaning. I take a whole bunch of different types of 10th step, but they're all continued inventory. They're not cleaning up the wreckage of my drinking past. That's the 4th step. But I needed to do the 4th step, to take the 4th step in order to learn how to take inventory. Because like the 12th step says, all inventories are alike in principle. I can still use the same formula that I learned to take that inventory when I cleaned up the wreckage of my past. And now I get to practice it continuously for the rest of my life. And that's called 10th step work. So it says that we get to continue taking personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. Why? Because we're not recovered from humanism. We vigorously commenced this way of living as we cleaned up the past. I love the way it says, as we cleaned up the past. Because I'm still making my 9th step amends. I mean, not today, but you know, when I first got to this page in the big book, to page 84, I'm not just going to wait to go on to my 10th step until my 9th step is completed with a period behind it, right? Like, I don't have to wait to finish my 9th step before I go on to 10. My 9th step is something that could take, you know, it's a process. For me, and I don't recommend this to anybody, my last 9th step amends that I could that I made to complete my entire 9th step was I was 5 years sober. And the reason why wasn't because of lack of willingness. I wanted to do it. It was to my ex-husband. At the time he was ex, but Now we're married again, so we're alcoholic. Anyway, it was at the time it was to my ex-husband, and I was furious. I was so frustrated that at 4 years sober, being a good AA, a member in good standing, I still hadn't made my amends to him because my sponsor said until I stopped doing the behavior, I couldn't go and clean it up. Because if you're still going to do what you're going to apologize for, what you're going to try to mend, then it's worse than not making amends in the first place. It's like putting up your middle finger in somebody's face. You know, I can't say I'm sorry for something and then do it again the next day. So, I was at 4 years sober, and my husband, who for the first time in his life is in AA, because first 4 years of my AA membership, he called my AA meetings that I was going to every day, my bullshit pity parties. So that, you know, that man who would never step foot in an AA meeting, all of a sudden gets to his bottom after the divorce. He goes and finds his bottom. He gets help. You know, his bottom came in jail. He gets help. And all of a sudden, he's 30 days sober and making me an amends because he's on his ninth step. And I am 4 years sober and still haven't been able to make him an amends. And I'm like, what? Right? So, anyway, I'm grateful today that it happened like that, though, because if I can't make the same amends for the same thing over and over again, or it's not an amends. It's just an I'm sorry. I'm not mending any of the behavior. So, now that I've cleaned up the wreckage of my past, so I couldn't wait to go on to my 10th step. If my sponsor made me wait until my ninth step amends were over to get on to steps 10, 11, and 12, then I would have probably drank again by now, right? So as I'm cleaning up the wreckage of my past, as I'm going out there and making these face-to-face amends, as I'm setting right the wrongs of the past, now I'm already starting on step 10. And that's what these instructions say. They say, let's see, personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commenced this way of living as we cleaned up the past. So I get to start on my 10th step before I'm all the way done with my ninth step, according to this book. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow, right? This is where we get to start growing, in understanding and effectiveness. Effectiveness. I didn't hear that word for way too long in Alcoholics Anonymous. I must have just read over it. I must have skipped over it. I grew in understanding and I grew in wanting to make sure you understood, but I was not very effective. And still today, I could probably stand to be a whole lot more effective. And so I'm still growing in that arena. And I hope to never stop. But this is not an overnight matter. Whew. Thank God, because I would have failed miserably right by now, right? This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for a lifetime. Now, I want to point something out real quick. On page 84, in the middle of page 84, the language of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous flips. It completely does a 180. Before page one, before page 84 in the big book, while it's going through steps 1 through 9, all of the language up until page 84 has been past tense. This is what we did. This is what we prayed. This is what we said. Now, because we're on the never done steps, the maintenance and growth steps, the language is completely different. Now the language is, this is not an overnight matter. This should continue for a lifetime. And you'll notice that from this point on, it's, and then we pray, and then we will be doing this. It's not past tense, it's present tense. And that's why I believe that the first word of those first nine steps are all past tense, even if you read them off the wall, and then continue, improve, and practice our steps 10, 11, and 12, because we're never done with those. We will always be continuing to improve and practice. And that's what keeps me a recovered alcoholic. And it keeps keeps me from relapsing back into the thinking that leads me to the drinking. So this is not an overnight matter. It should continue for a lifetime. So here's the five steps, the five little points that go with the 10th step that I get to take throughout my day. Number one, continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. So my notes on in my side, in my margin is watch for defects, right? That's what those things are. That's keeping it simple. Watch for defects. When, not if, they crop up, because we're not relieved of from humanism, right? Just alcoholism. So when, not if, they crop up, we, number two, ask God at once to remove them. So my little notes in the margin, pray. That's what asking God is, right? Is praying. So ask God to remove them. Do that quick fears prayer, you know, like, oh, remove this character defect from me and turn my thoughts to someone you can help, or I can help, or turn my thoughts to someone, to what you would have me be, right? Something quick. Number three, we discuss them with someone immediately. So that's when, if God doesn't see fit to remove that from me when I ask him to, if he's not going to do as I tell him to right away, that fear or that resentment, that's when I have to call or text my sponsor. Even if I have to text her and she doesn't even get back to me until the next time we talk, so that she can ask, did God remove that from you, or do we need to do some work on this, right? But at least I'm getting it out there. So so that's when I have in my margin, I say, call or text my sponsor. And then discuss them with someone immediately. And then make amends quickly if I've harmed anyone. My side notes is make amends. And then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. And my my fifth margin notes is help someone. So resolutely, what does resolutely mean? Well, let's go through that whole, because that's the 10th step. That paragraph is the 10th step right there. Those are the clear cut directions of the 10th step. And I don't think it gets more clear than that. So I'm going throughout my day, making mistakes, because I'm not perfect and I'm not gonna be perfect. I can strive for perfection, but I'm not going to ever really achieve that. The only thing I can do perfectly is not drink. And how do I do that? Stay spiritually fit. And that's why I can do this work. That's why I have this work. So as I'm going throughout my day, this stuff crops up, right? And it does often. Fear is a big one for me. Selfishness. Dishonesty and resentment. I mean, it's so easy, because it actually, you know, even writes down which ones. And I don't know if you guys know this, but those are the four base character defects: fear, anger, resentment, fear, resentment, dishonesty, and selfishness. But all of those, that whole list that I know I had, maybe you guys didn't have it, but when I had my sixth step list of all of those character defects, all of those character defects, they pretty much can, I'll call them secondary defects. They pretty much could fall under one of those four base defects. Let's say gluttony. Well, that falls under selfishness, right? Omission. Well, that falls under dishonesty, right? So all of that stuff, it basically, so this is a quick way of saying, are your defects cropping up? When I have a defect that crops up, right? And I call my sponsor, she's going to say, did you pray about this? Why is she going to ask me that? Because I'm jumping from the first part of step 10 to the third part before doing what? The second step of the fifth step says we ask God at once to remove them, right? So if I'm going to skip part two and I say, well, no, I haven't prayed yet. It's like, okay, click. And then I know, all right, so she's probably wanting me to pray first, right? And so then I pray. And sometimes God removes that. Sometimes God removes it right away. I don't know how that works, but it does. It works. It really does. And then I don't have to worry about the next three parts, right? But when he doesn't remove it right away, especially if it's cropping up after a couple of days, I have to call my sponsor or text or whatever. And then, and I do that even today. And I would love to say that I'm more spiritually fit than this. I would love to sit here and pretend to you guys that I am more spiritually fit than this, but I can't because it's just not the case. Still today, before I make amends, unless it's completely obvious, I have to talk to my sponsor before I make any big amends. And why? Why is that step three or yeah, part three is call sponsor or talk to another alcoholic before part four? Well, I'll tell you why. An alcoholic like me doesn't see things real clearly when I'm in the midst of all of that emotion and excitement and or self-pity or whatever, right? I don't see things clearly. My sponsor, it's not that she's more spiritual than me or smarter than me or whatever. It's that she's not in it, right? She doesn't have it corroding her vision like I do when I'm in the middle of that stuff. So sometimes I'll call and I'll be like, oh, that bitch, blah, 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 blah. And I won't think I own amends. And she'll be like, oh, so you own amends. And I'm like, huh? And then she'll ask me some questions and I'm like, oh my God. And then sometimes I'll call her and I'll be like, oh my God, I own amends. I just said this in the middle of a meeting at group level. I offended half the people. And she'll be like, whoa, 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 whoa. What exactly did you say? Okay. Well, if they're offended, they're offended. But isn't that right out of the big book? Well, yeah, but I don't know if you do own amends. Right. And so I get to run that stuff by her because she's not in the midst of the emotion and she can ask me the questions that hold the mirror up to my face and that help me to see things a little bit more clearly. And then the last one I love is resolutely turn my thoughts to someone I can help. What does resolutely mean? It means to resolve the situation, right? It means to be done with it so that I can go on about my day without dragging the yuckiness along with me. So what do I do to resolve the situation? Well, if I owe an amends, I make it, what does it say? Promptly, I think is the word that it uses in here. Let's see, quickly. Immediately. Okay, we discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone. Now, if I'm waiting to the end of the day to do this work, because I think the 10th step should be done at the end of the day. I don't know. I'm just really grateful that my big book has my 11th step review at the end of the day. And that if I'm caught up on my 10th step, most of the time, the 11th step review is just reviewing my day, checking off the boxes and thinking, oh, I'm so glad that I wasn't sleepwalking through my day today. And I already cleaned that mess up. Right? I'm so glad that I was living in step 10 today so that I don't have to clean that up. Next paragraph. And I put up, I don't know if you guys saw in the chat, I put up a little, and I haven't used this in years, but I did used to use it a lot for my 10th step. Now it kind of just is, I don't know, it's become a working part of my brain, I guess. But the 10th step little cheat sheet, I don't know how to copy and paste. Let's see. The 10th step cheat sheet is something that I kept on my phone for a long time. And it's just a little poster that says it's just the 10th step out of the big book. There's nothing not from the big book, but it says watch, pray, talk, mend, help. And it tells me in different sections, watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these things crop up, and I used to have to turn on my phone and flip to this when those things cropped up, and it would remind me, oh yeah, okay, I got to ask God to remove them. Then I, remove them. It's a cheat sheet. And I needed a cheat sheet for and make amends quickly if I've harmed anyone, resolutely turn my thoughts to someone I can help. So it's just a little thing that I used to use quite a bit. And now it comes naturally. But okay, so the next paragraph says, and we have ceased fighting anything or anyone. I love this so much. I got to tell you guys, I love the 10 step promises. And if somebody would have, I get so passionate about the 10th step promises. I got to take my shirt off because I'm going to be probably moving around a little bit. Okay. So about the 10 step promises, I wish, and maybe not because I need what I need. But when I was new in Alcoholics Anonymous, they read the 9th step promises. And I shared with you a little bit last week about how not unattractive the 9th step promises were for me, but I was so selfish and self-centered. I didn't care about being more useful to other people. I didn't care about having a whole new attitude and outlook upon life. I just wanted to know how to quit drinking. I did not want to wake up with puke all over myself in the morning. I wanted to wake up and know where I was the night before, what I did, and who I did it with. Like, that's all. You know, and so the 10th step promises would have been like the carrot before the horse. It would have been like the carrot dangling before the horse. These are things that, well, quite honestly, I don't know, maybe I wouldn't even believe you if you would have read the 10th step promises to me, because it sounds so far-fetched, right? But by the time I got to this place in the book, so I love this. So by the time my sponsor and I got to this place in the big book, she asked me to read the beginning of this workshop 10 weeks ago or whatever it was. I told you guys that when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I didn't know how to read. You know, I did things like I took the preamble home and memorized it so that if you handed it to me, you wouldn't know that I couldn't read because I would pretend. And so, you know, it was really difficult when she had me read some of these things. I'd never read a book in my entire life. And the only reason that it seems kind of like I can read today is because usually all you hear me reading is out of the big book. And I've taken so many people through the big book that that's kind of how I learn, right? And so at this point though, I hadn't taken anyone through the big book. I was being taken through the big book. And so she told me to read, and she was very, you know, she was helpful, and she helped me with the words, and she helped me sound out, and we had the big book dictionary. But this is the part that I just couldn't believe what I was reading. So she had me read, and I said, we had ceased fighting anyone or anything or anyone, even alcohol. I could cease fighting anything or anyone, but even alcohol. Like, I don't know if you ever got in the ring with King Alcohol, but for me, I didn't know how to cease fighting. Every time I got in the ring with King Alcohol, I would lose, but I would never tap out. I would get back in for round two. I'd get back up for round three. I'd get back up for round four. I'd never tapped out. I never ceased fighting King Alcohol. I never won. Sometimes I would win a round or two, which would give me the utmost confidence to get back in the ring again. But I never ceased fighting. And by this time in the big book, I had ceased fighting. And she asked me, when's the last time? Because she knew that I referred to him as King Alcohol. When's the last time you got in the ring with King Alcohol? Oh my God, I had ceased fighting, even alcohol. It had been months since I drank. I hadn't gotten drunk. I hadn't got back up in the ring with King Alcohol because I was so busy been doing this work that I didn't even think about it. And then it says, for by this time, sanity will have returned. Wow, that is quite the promise there. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil as if from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor not toward people, places, and things. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Al-Anon family groups. I do. I did 2 years in that fellowship. I am so grateful. But this is Alcoholics Anonymous. And we don't promise to recover from humanism, right? I'm going to have problems for the rest of my life. This is about not drinking. Yeah, oh, it's not about drinking. It's about the thinking. Right, but ultimately, it's about the drinking. If I don't fix the thinking, I'm going to be drinking. And that is ultimately why I came here. So, you know, the newcomer in the room, when I change that up with people, places, and things, or, you know, with whatever, I'm not doing any favors. I'm here to tell the newcomer in the room that my attitude toward liquor has been given me without any thought or effort on my part. It just comes. It just came. This is my experience. This is my real life experience, these promises. And then it uses the word miracle. That is the miracle of it. It's a miracle. I was 24/7 thinking about drinking. If I wasn't wasted, because I was rarely mildly intoxicated, very rarely mildly intoxicated. If I wasn't wasted, I was recovering from a terrible hangover. Sometimes my hangovers would last 3 days, right? So if I wasn't wasted, I was puking and recovering from being wasted. And if I wasn't wasted or puking and recovering from being wasted, then I was planning the next cocktail party. I was planning the next mom's night out. I was planning the next drink. And so 24/7, I'm thinking about drinking. And this says, it just comes. That's the miracle of it. We are not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. What? I can go down the cheese aisle? Yeah, I can go down the cheese aisle. I don't have to avoid temptation anymore. I don't have to stay away from slippery people, places, and things anymore. Like, I can go anywhere that a normal person can go. I can't believe it. I spent the first year of my sobriety driving to the other side of town to go to the health food store to buy any sort of cheese, because it's the only store in town that the cheese isn't put in the same aisle as the beer, because I had to avoid temptation. Like, I always thought that AA was to freedom from alcohol in AA meant freedom from picking up a drink and putting it to my lips, physical freedom from alcohol. I had no idea that there could be mental freedom from alcohol, that there could be freedom from thinking about alcohol. It's not about not drinking. It's about not wanting to drink. I had no idea that that was possible. Like, I had no clue. I thought that maybe it was possible to join the club, to join Club AA and be miserable with you guys one day at a time, sharing about how miserable we are, staying away from a drink, white knuckling it from one meeting to the next. And when I wanted to drink, picking up the phone or making a gratitude list or going to page 419 or 417, 449, whatever. I thought that's what you had to offer me. I had no idea that there was actually freedom from alcohol up here. No clue until I actually did the work and it helped and it came true for me. And it materialized for me. So now we are not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality, even in the cheese aisle, neutrality, safe and protected. Whew, here we go. Ready for the big promises? We're getting warmed up here. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. Okay. Biddy, you got to help me out with these. We got to do some of these. Woo! Removed. It does not exist for us. What? You mean we can recover in AA? Yeah. The problem is removed. It doesn't exist for me. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react so long as I keep in fit spiritual condition. Oh my God. I had no idea until it happened. It happened. You know, my sponsor says, when is the last time you thought about drinking? When is the last time you've thought about drinking? And you guys, I've never been more honest than I'm being honest with you right now. I thought hard about that question, and I could not remember the last time I thought about drinking. It had been weeks, maybe months, since the thought even crossed my mind. Since I've done this work, since I've recovered, since I've become a recovered alcoholic, the last time I even had a drinking dream, I was 18 months sober. And that was in my subconscious. I haven't even had a subconscious thought of drinking. And this is from the mind of a chronic alcoholic 24/7 that tells me drink, drink, drink. I mean, if that's not a miracle, like the word this book just used, I don't know what is. I mean, I don't know what is. So, right, like, wow, I'm recovered. Give me my graduation certificate. I am out of here, right? Like, that's the attitude I heard that's the attitude I had. And my sponsor's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah, no. Congratulations. The problem has been removed. God has relieved you of your alcoholic problem, which centers in the mind, right? I'm never going to be able to drink with impunity. I'm always going to be physically, I have no physical immunity to alcohol. Obviously I have an allergy of the body and I don't recover from that. But the real problem centers in the mind, and that I've just recovered from. I am like super stoked. This miracle just happened to me. And I'm like, so excited. I want to go shout it to the world. And unfortunately I did. This is before I learned the traditions. And I was super excited, and my sponsor's like, no, wait, hold up. Let's read the next paragraph here. Slow your roll, because this isn't a 9-step program. If that's what happens when we recover, that we graduate and leave, then it would be called a 9-step program. But it's a 12-step program. So we're given 3 additional steps to make sure that we keep in fit spiritual condition, to make sure that we stay recovered, right? So it is easy to let up on this spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do. For alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Now, let's stop right there for a second. Maintenance. What does that mean? That's an action word. Thank God this paragraph, that sentence, doesn't read, what we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on our spiritual condition. Because if my daily reprieve was contingent on my spiritual condition, I am not in fit spiritual condition every day, guys. I know that comes as a surprise to you because I'm so like spiritual and calm all the time, but I am not in fit spiritual condition every single day. And so thank God it doesn't say that what we really have is the daily reprieve contingent on our spiritual condition, because I would have been drunk like 10 times over, right? What it says is we have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance, which is my highlight in my book, of our spiritual condition, of that. And that's an action word. So the action that I'm willing to take on a daily basis. So what does that mean? That means the maintenance for me is I suit up and show up even when I don't want to. I take honest inventory and call my sponsor and tell her what I just said in the middle of an AA meeting, or what I said to the lady in the front of me in the grocery store line, or whatever, even when I don't want to. I pick up the phone and take the call of the sponsee, who I know is just going to tell me how terrible her husband's program is for the 100th time, even when I don't want to, right? Like I take the action even when I don't want to. And that's what the maintenance means. And that's how I'm able to keep in fit spiritual condition. This is a program of action, right? Not a program of acceptance. I mean, Dr. Paul's story is super cute, but I work out of the front of the book. This is a program of action, and I need to stay in action. And that's where my reprieve comes from, is the work I'm willing to do on a daily basis. Am I willing to help someone else through these steps? Am I willing to pick up the phone at 2 o'clock in the morning and go pick somebody up from the bar who is drunk, who called me from 5 years ago, who I used to sponsor that I haven't even heard of from for years? We did not leave on good terms. Like, am I willing to do these things? Am I willing to take the action? Now, it was explained to me for people who are like, oh, she thinks she's recovered. Ooh, better pray for her. You know, gosh, she's going to wake up drunk. I get it. You know, definitely, if you feel like you have to pray for me, go ahead. But what I'm here to tell you is the way it was explained to me is that I drive a piece of crap car. When I first came into AA, I didn't, because my priorities were all different. I used to have, like, I don't do my nails anymore. I used to have fingernails. I used to have, like, super cool hair and clothes and a super cool car. Like, my idea of a fun night out would be to sit in front of, like, the red carpet, you know, watch the red carpets all dressed up. I used to know who was dating who in Hollywood. I have no clue today. What I like to do, I like to go 12 step a wit drunk, right? Like, and I have been bitten, pissed on, and puked on, and I still bring them here, right? Like, that's what I like to do. So of course I can't drive a nice car anymore, right? So I drive a piece of crap because I've, you know, it's been puked in one too many times. So I drive a nice a piece of crap car with leather seats. They must have leather seats. And sometimes they die because they're crap. One time my car died in the middle of the freeway with a sponsee and a grand sponsee on our way to Portland. It was actually in Portland on the freeway, nowhere to pull out. We were like they had to call the ODAT, which is the Oregon, like, anyway, it was a big, we were on our way to a speaking engagement and it was a whole ordeal. But yeah, so I drive old cars, right? And last time I took my car in to get fixed because it wasn't running anymore and I don't know anything about cars, they said I needed a new engine. So it needed to be either rebuilt or replaced. I'm like, okay, do what you got to do. You know, I don't know anything about cars, but when I went to pick it up, what I do know about that car is it drove. It was towed there. It was not recovered. But when they fixed it, I drove it off the parking lot. So it was recovered. Yay, car's all recovered. We got it going. But I still need to keep up on the maintenance. And make sure to take it in for oil changes, if I don't take it in for tire rotations, if I don't put gasoline in it, then it's probably gonna be back at step one, right? Like, I'm probably gonna have a broken down car again. So I still have to keep up on the maintenance. Another way I look at it is I have a beautiful lawn today. It wasn't always like this because after the divorce, I don't do yard work. after the divorce, it like died and it wasn't just dead. It was like weeds and dandelions and everything. And after my husband got sober and we waited 365 days to start dating again, any newcomers, that's the truth. When we finally decided we were going to get married again, he moved back in and he's like, well, let's put in a yard, you know? But it wasn't just, it was dead. We needed to start at step one, right? So he gets a rototiller. We have to take the weeds out, the rocks out. He brings in a truck full of manure. He brings in a truck full of good dirt. Like, there's all this preparation involved. We got to pick out all the rocks, step four, right? We got to plant the seeds, the grass seeds. Then we can't walk on it for, you know, a certain amount of time because the seedlings are just coming up and we have to water it and we have to baby it and we have to care for it. And now we have a lawn. It's good to go. We don't have to rototill it every day. Done step one already, been through steps 1 through 9. Now we have to mow it and we have to water it and we have to fertilize it and we have to do the maintenance on it. And if we take care of the maintenance, it naturally grows. And that's what's so cool about steps 10, 11, and 12. If I do the maintenance, I grow like the grass grows. And I grow in usefulness and in effectiveness. And I grow along spiritual lines. And it doesn't mean that I have to wake up every day and do steps 1 through 9. I don't have to wake up every day and rototill my yard and I, any more than I have to wake up every day and you know, turn my will, one time I heard somebody say that they work all 12 steps every day. And I'm like, man, they tell their sponsor their quote from the big book, whole life story every single day. Poor sponsor, right? But no, now I get to practice the principles I learned every single day in steps 10, 11, and 12. So what are those steps that we took out of step four, out of step 10, that little paragraph? Steps 4 through 9, right? We're watching for those character defects. That's step 4. When they crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. There's steps 6 and 7. We talk to another alcoholic. That's step 5, right? We make amends if we need. That's steps 8 and 9. We resolutely try. So we're working the principles of these steps. We're practicing the principles in all of our affairs every day. And that's part of step 12. But it doesn't mean that I need to rototill up my yard every day and start from scratch. That would be miserable. So what we really have is daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance or the action, right? Because maintenance is an action word that I'm willing to take. So the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day. Every day is a day. We must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. Wow, that sounds like the third step. So I'm doing my third step. No, I took my third step. I'm doing my 10th step. It's under the part of the book that says, this thought brings us to step 10. But yes, it's practicing the principle of the third step. You know, my will or thy will, not mine, be done. And I have to say that numerous times. And I have to say my third step prayer numerous times. I haven't said it on my knees in a while. But I do know that when I am really getting out of alignment with God's will, and I can, you know, and I don't see those ninth step promises slipping away anymore. What I see is those bedevilments creeping in, right? And when I see 54, page 54, bedevilments, and when I see those bedevilments, those are like red flags to me. And I will get down on my knees and I will say my third step prayer in all earnestness and sincerity. And I will remind myself of that decision that I made that day and ask myself, have I changed my mind? And the answer has always been no. No, I am not ready to take my will back. I do not want to live on self-will anymore. That way did not work for me. And that's why I continue to do step 10. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed direction, and I have that highlighted because that is a big if. Because these are some pretty clear-cut directions. These are actually, it doesn't get more clear-cut than these directions in this big book. If we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of his spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense, but we must go further. And that means more acceptance. No, it means more action, program of action, right? So next week, we're going to talk about step 11 and get more into action. So that's all I got for step 10. And look at that. It's 4 o'clock exactly. Wow. Good timing. Thank you guys for being here today. And thank you for having me.
Awesome. Thank you so, so much, Carrie. Guys, please send me your questions in the chat. Unfortunately, we can't unmute because we are still recording till the end. So any questions that you have for our presenter, please send to me in the chat and I'll go ahead and ask her. The first question I did get was actually a really good one. And I was kind of interested in this too. Where do you get a big book dictionary?
Oh, well, you can find that non-AA conference approved piece of literature from your local central office or from You know what? Actually, there's a website called, and I neither endorse nor oppose this cause. There's a website called bigbookdictionary.com. I know that's really hard to memorize, but it's called, actually it might be called littlebigbookdictionary.com because the it's called Little Big Book Dictionary. Biddy, could you
maybe move it up for a little bit? I can only see one corner of it.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, the Little Big Book Dictionary. And so I think on the front cover of that, Biddy, you should see, open the front cover and there should be a little, it should say the website. Is it littlebigbookdictionary.com?
I can't read that, Biddy.
I think it's called littlebigbookdictionary.com. So it's easy to find. It's easy. You won't be able to find it off on an AA website because it's not AA. But what's cool about the Little Big Book Dictionary is just like any dictionary, of course, it's not going to be conference approved literature. Even Webster's dictionary is not conference approved literature. But what's cool about the Little Big Book Dictionary opposed to, like Webster is it's the definition of the words in 1959. So it's the definition of what those words meant back when the big book was written.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Carrie. That was the only question I've gotten so far. So I'm still awaiting questions from everybody. And I do see some people typing. So I'm just going to give it 1 minute and see what we get in the chat. Okay. I just got a question. When should you start working the steps?
Well, I think that is on page 58, the answer to that. Let me look. 50. I like to make sure my answers.
Oh, the person who wrote that said, someone said a step a month.
Someone said what?
A step a month. One step a month.
That's weird. The instructions in the big book give you an hour to do step 6 and 7 after you're done with step 5. So steps 5, 6, and 7 all get done in 1 day. So I don't know how that could be a step a month, but, there's other ways to do the steps other than the big book. So yeah, if your sponsor says a step a month, I suggest do what your sponsor is saying. But in the big book, it says, so let's see. If you've decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any lengths to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. So as soon as you have decided that you're willing to go to any lengths, I think that's probably a good time to start the steps. And as far as how quickly they should be done, I've left that debating. I've left that debate a long time ago because, I mean, I've sponsored women who, this is just my experience, and then I'll read what the big book says about that answer. My experience is that I've sponsored women who have like a full-time job, 4 kids, and are trying to go to a meeting every day, which is insane. I would much rather them spend their time doing the steps than going to a meeting. I mean, you go to a meeting to find a sponsor and then you do the steps and then you can go to meetings like again to find sponsees, but I don't anyway. So, her steps took us 9 months to get through. She had a lot going on in her life. And I didn't hold that against her and I didn't guilt her for that. And then I had another sponsee, and this is my other extreme. And then I've had everything in between. She's retired. She doesn't have a job. She doesn't have kids. She had all the time in the world and she had the desperation of a dying man. or woman. And so that combination landed her raising her hand to sponsor others by the end of her first 30 days. We got through all 12 steps and we were able to spend, you know, I think we spent a couple 6-hour days together in the first week of her sobriety. We were meeting every 2 or 3 days, spending hours and hours and hours in the book together. And so it all depends, you know, on the situation, I think. But there is a place that talks about time frame in the spiritual experience in the back of the book. It's appendix 2. And it says on the bottom of the page, on the bottom of the first page of spiritual experience, it says what often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. So a few months is what the big book says.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Carrie. Next question. What does it mean when someone says, what step are you working on? And then the next question they have in the same one is, do you do them every year?
Okay. So somebody must be just tuning in. I feel like I maybe have gone over this a little bit too much. But I know I do not do the steps every year. I tried to do, I'll give you my experience of when I thought I had to do the steps again, because I was hearing and meeting stuff like I was in this women's meeting where like there was this woman 20 years sober who says she's doing work in her fourth step again. And I'm like, am I falling short? You know? So I went to my sponsor and I'm like, I think I need to work the steps again, you know? And she's like, okay, so you think you're powerless over, you think you're power, you've regained your power over alcohol. You need to do more research. I'm like, no, I know I'm powerless over alcohol. Oh, okay. So no more research. Cause my first step took me like 20 years, you know, it took a lot of drinking to get that done. No, I don't need to do that again. Nope. I'm good on my first step. Second step. Oh, you're not happy with the higher power that you have to. No, I'm happy with my higher power. Is it not working out for you? Well, no, I'm good. Well, so do you not believe that your higher power could restore you to sanity? Well, no, I mean, obviously I have proof that my higher power restored me to sanity. Well, then you don't need to come to believe in something that you've already came to believe and then it happened for you. Okay, well, I need to do my third step, right? Oh, did you change your mind? Have you decided that you want to run your life? Well, no. Well, you already took those vows, right? Yeah. Well, do you need to like renew your marriage vows? Because my husband and I only got married the first time. And I was not a perfect wife, but I screwed up a lot, took my will back a lot, but we didn't need to get remarried every time I messed up. I have a loving and forgiving husband and I have a loving and forgiving higher power. I just had to remember those vows that I made and get back on track. Right. So now I'm like, well, I know I need to do a fourth step. So she's like, all right, well here, let's do your fourth step. So I'm working on my fourth step and I'm really, you know, I'm setting aside 20 minutes a day. That's all I'm ADHD. I can't do anymore. I'm setting aside 20 minutes a day. I'm praying. I'm, you know, trying to write. I mean, 3 weeks go by and I have 2 names on there. What? I feel like a complete and total failure at this point. I'm listening to fifth steps. I listened to 3 fifth steps in that 2 weeks. I don't normally listen to that many fifth steps. Just, I don't want you to think I'm a super overachiever, but it just happened to be that I listened to a whole bunch of fifth steps. And these women are bringing me amazing fourth steps with like huge lists. And they're doing so good. And I'm like, what the hell is the matter with me? I am falling super short on my fourth step. And so I bring it to my sponsor and I'm like, I don't know, sponsor, I am not doing so hot on this fourth step. And she's like, well, do you think it's because you've been keeping up on your 10th step? And I'm like, oh yeah. She's like, yeah, like you call me every day with all these issues and we work through them. Like, you know, I mean, and then we go to my 9th step. Could you imagine these people who you already cleaned up the wreckage of your past with, right? Your second grade teacher who you punched in the face, The 14-year-old girl who you was your best friend that you slept with her boyfriend. Like, could you imagine coming at him with that ninth step amends for cleaning up the wreckage of your past every time you thought you were doing another set of steps? Like, they'd be like, please, no, we've had enough. I forgive you, right? Like, no, my ninth step is cleaning up the wreckage of my past. The 10th step, as it says three times in that paragraph, is continuing to watch and continuing to set right and continuing to take inventory as I go along my life from here on out. So for me, it's impossible to do the steps over. If you think you're doing the steps over, wonderful, you know, but for me, it would be impossible unless I stop doing 10, 11, and 12, my grass dies and I got to get a rototiller again. Cause that means I drank.
What if when you get a new sponsor?
I have done that, actually. Yes. So I'm actually taking a few women through the steps right now who are recovered alcoholics, including your sponsor. And they are all women who are, they already work a good program. And, you know, and what has been kind of cool and revealing and a learning experience for me is, we're going through kind of like with a fine tooth comb and, filling in the gaps. And because not everyone works the steps exactly the same, obviously, right? Or even I'm very literal. We work the steps exactly out of the big book, word for word. We do exactly what it says. And when we do that, we find little gaps and holes that might have been missed in the past. And one of the things that so do we actually do another first step? I take them through to show them how to help others go through the first step. Do we actually work another step, second step? I take them through to show them how to take others through the second step. But one of the things that that I do appreciate about, I've gone through the steps twice. I went through once with my first sponsor and once with my current sponsor who I've had for like 9-10 years. And she, I don't think she would be able to have helped me with my 10th step stuff early on if she hadn't heard my inventory. Like, I call her with something, like if I were to call Biddy or a friend of mine and said, oh my God, I just did this. She might say, oh my God, what are you going to do? Whereas my sponsor would say, again, okay, let's look at the last time this happened. Or she might, you know, she knows my patterns. She knows my, so it's makes for a really more useful 12-step buddy when they've heard your entire inventory. I hope that answers the question.
That answered it perfectly. Thank you. And that was my question. All right. what do you think about going back a step when your sponsor says you're not ready?
I mean, I'm 100% in favor of listening to your sponsor. Even if they say something the opposite of what I say, listen to your sponsor. I, you know, before I trusted God, I had to trust something. And so I trusted the process, and part of the process in Alcoholics Anonymous is sponsorship.
I love that. Thank you. Next question. How do you get your sponsee that has gone through steps to do 12?
Well,
how do you get your sponsee to do step 12?
Oh, I agree. I can see what the question is. And you know what? My ego wants to answer something that's not truthful. My ego wants to say, well, if they've been through the first 9 steps, then they're try to keep them away from step 12, right? But I'll be honest. The reason why I parted ways with my first sponsor, and I haven't admitted this from the podium before, so this is a new one for me. the reason I parted ways with my first sponsor is because when we got to that step, she told me that I needed to start raising my hand in meetings to sponsor others. And I said, oh, I can't do that. I'm going to get somebody drunk, because obviously my ego was still so big. I thought that I had control over somebody else's sobriety. And, I even took it into my subconscious. I started having nightmares about, I was 9 months sober, and I started having nightmares about, I was a party drinker. I wasn't a closet drinker. And I used to have cocktail parties at my house all the time, and like do everything up and put special lights on and make all these special drinks. And I had this whole bar, and I had nightmares for 3 nights in a row about having all my sponsees over for a cocktail party and making them drinks. And I that's kind of why, I got to the point where I'm like, I can't help anybody else. And then she told me, I love what Bob D says. And I get it. It's just a joke. I don't need any hate email written about this. I know it's just a joke, but he says, and this helped me a lot too, because it helped me to not take myself so seriously. He says, well, he told me, Carrie, you got to kill a few to save one. So, but what that tells me is it's not me. Like, I can't kill anybody any more than I can save somebody, right? It's God. I am just a conduit. I don't have to make anything up. It's all right here in this book. And so if I'm trusting the process, I have to trust the whole process. If I want to work a 12-step program, I have to work all 12 steps. And that's as simple as it is.
Thank you. All right, this is a good one. Since you were delayed in making an amends for a while, did that hold up your ability to sponsor an individual?
No, I mean, again, I'm sure that I probably tried to use it as an excuse to not sponsor, but I don't think so, because the book doesn't say wait until you're done with your ninth step before you start on the maintenance steps. The book says, as we clean up the wreckage of our past, we begin to, start living these
10, 11 and 12.
10, 11 and 12.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Next question. I have a sponsee that is also my dear friend. Suggestions on boundaries between the two.
Every sponsor relationship is different. I am not going to tell you, I cannot make a suggestion for what works for you. I will tell you that my sponsor and I, we met for an hour and a half every single week, face to face, for the first 8 years of our relationship. And we went to 3 meetings a week together. And I'm not saying it, I'm not trying to sound like it's in past tense, but now since COVID has happened, she's super duper careful. And so we don't meet face to face anymore. We meet on the phone or whatever, but out of all that time, and you can imagine that is a lot of face to face time. That's a lot of meetings together. We have never once, not once gone out to a movie together, went on a walk together. She does not share with me her inventory about her life. She has a sponsor for that. And I am the same way. I try to be the same way with the people that I sponsor. And when it comes too closely to that line, I have amicably, not like I haven't fired people, but when we become too close of friends, I have suggested that they, either ask my sponsor to start sponsoring them, or which happened once. And because I don't want to lose my effectiveness, right? I'm supposed to be growing in usefulness and effectiveness. And if I'm worried about hurting your feelings because you're my best friend, then I can't be effective with you anymore. And that's not my role. And I love being able to give I was just having this conversation with a sponsee yesterday. You know, she called me to talk about, I had to remind her of my role. I'm like, this sounds like a phone call for a friend. I am not your friend, and I do not need to hear anything that you've been just said to me. It was a waste of my time as your sponsor. Call your friend. Because I, you know, I have enough friends, probably I don't need more. And so I make that line very clear. And the way I do that is I actually have a printout. This is how structured I am with it. I actually have a printout that when somebody asks me to sponsor them, I don't just say yes or no. I say, well, let's meet for coffee or frozen yogurt, or I guess Zoom today. And I go over first what I don't do. You know, I'm not a friend. I'm not a doctor. I'm not your mom. I'm not a taxi cab. I'm not a hotel. I'm not your daycare. I go over everything that I'm not. And then I go over what I do. And that's, I walk you through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous as laid out in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I help you to get acquainted with a home group. I help you with your service work because I'm a three legacy sponsor. I help you to go through the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. And eventually I help you to learn about the service structure, which is our third legacy. And that's it.
Thank you so much, Carrie. This is the last question that I have in the chat. So after this question, we'll go ahead and close up. But please, guys, stay after for fellowshipping. We have newcomers. So anybody who has worked their steps, men and women, please stay on after to go ahead and talk to our newcomers. We're going to have breakout rooms for each, for boys and then for girls. All right. Last question. Why do you suppose there is so much confusion about step 10 timing? Is it because of the 12 and 12?
Yep. Well, okay. Yes, the 12 and 12 and treatment centers. Because there's a lot of apps out there, you know, that the treatment centers put out. But yeah, but the 12 and 12 is absolutely, you know, if you don't know what you're reading, if you think you're reading the steps or the traditions and you don't know that they're just essays about someone's experience with the steps and the traditions, if you don't know that the big book is where the steps are and comes of age is where the traditions are, then it could imply that you're actually working the steps or the traditions. And that's not what that book is for.
Just got one more question. Hold on. Sponsee, do you require meetings with your sponsees to attend at least one meeting with you a week?
That sounds like a question from one of my sponsees.
it might be.
I know. I'm looking to see all of them in the room. Yes, I do. One a week. It's easy because right now my home group meets 7 days a week. And so it's an easy, you know, what I require out of meetings is definitely not 90 and 90. I would much rather those I sponsor attend even two meetings a week at their home group where they have a service position than 15 random drive-through AA meetings a week. Much more prefer. So I don't even attend. Meeting attendance, home group membership is required. Being at your business meeting is required. That's what makes you a member instead of an attender.
Okay, I did get one more question. And as a remote sponsor, I really like this question. What do you think about long distance sponsoring, i.e. Zoom or phone?
It's going to be different for everyone. Have I sponsored women long distance? I've been doing that for probably five or six years now. But they're not newcomers. So I'll meet somebody at a conference or somebody will, you know, hear me talk. I travel a lot for AA and sometimes I'll say something, you know, in my share or from the podium or something that somebody will identify with, which is why we share, right? And somebody afterwards will say, you know, will ask me and we'll start working together. But that's somebody who already has a foundation. In the beginning of the pandemic, I did try to sponsor a couple of newcomers through the book. And I've ran into some things that when I'm sponsoring people face to face, and I can sit down with you and hug you and pray with you for the third step and have these experiences, I hope that I'm not taking that away from anybody. Mm-hmm. And so for myself, just as of recently, and I do have a couple from the pandemic that are first timers and that are working fine, but some of them, I just felt like I was taking something away from them with my arrogance in thinking that I'm the end all be all, and that they might not, I mean, they might be able to find someone who is sufficient in their own area that they can have that face-to-face experience with. And I don't want to take that away from them. And so it's my ego to, when I think, well, they're not going to do it right, and I want the, what's best for this person. I do want what's best with, for that person, even if it's not me. And so I have to really put my ego aside. And, as of late, I don't sponsor newcomers long distance anymore. I won't take on any more newcomers long distance. I have taken on a couple of women with decades of sobriety recently, but not first time beginners. I want for them that experience that I had.